I begin the message, I wanted to share this scripture. The Spirit of God is upon me because He has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. It doesn't mean the financially poor, it means the spiritually poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes and the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may have be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified. Amen. Amen. Well, today we're going to continue Romans. We're going to pick up in Romans chapter 8 today. Romans chapter 8. You know, it's interesting. I've heard people talk a lot about the book of Romans and many different comments and thoughts and ideas, but I believe it's one of Paul's best writings, and because it's written directly to the church, and it's written directly to us in an everyday format. It's good for every day. And so, chapter 8, verse 1, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." There is therefore now no condemnation. There's no condemnation. Think about condemnation. What condemnation means: to be condemned, to be just put down and done away with, to be removed. And he says there is, Paul says there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There's no condemnation for believers, but he says not just that. There's no condemnation for believers, but he said to those who are in Christ Jesus who do not walk according to the flesh, according to the world, according to themselves, but those who walk according to the Spirit. There's no condemnation for believers who are not controlled by the flesh. You see, our flesh condemns us because our flesh produces sin in our lives. And so that's where condemnation comes from. And he says there's no condemnation for believers who are not controlled by the flesh, but who are led by the Spirit of God. Verse 2, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." The Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. And you know, we've been talking about the law since the beginning of the book. And Paul is constantly talking about the law and the Spirit. The law and the Spirit. The law being obviously God's law, God's word, God's dictates. You know, he gave the Ten Commandments for a purpose and for a reason. And then as the people continued to fail to be able to live and stand up under the law, to meet the law, to meet up to its criteria and its requirements, then God sent Jesus. God sent Jesus with a mission. And the mission was to redeem people from living under the law, not being able to live up to it, and constantly living under it and being bound by it. Now the law, as Paul wrote, and we saw it last week, the law was given so that we can see what sin is. If we didn't have God's word, if we didn't have the law, we wouldn't know what sin is, because it would just be a free-for-all. It would be anything goes. Everything's okay. Whatever feels good, whatever you like to do, whatever you want to do, just do it. But you see, the law keeps us from that, because the law shows us When we look at the law, when we look at God's word, it shows us that when we do that, when we do whatever we want to do, we do things our way, it reveals to us that that's sin. That's sin because we're living without God when we're living our way. And so he says the law of the Spirit of life, the Spirit in Christ, has made us free from the law. We're not bound by it. The Spirit of Jesus sets us free from, not that we don't have to obey God's word, that's not what it's saying, but we're no longer under that power, that binding power of the word. We're set free to live our lives in the spirit of the law, not under the curse of the law, under the weight of the law, under the pressure of the law. But don't for a minute think that just cuts you free to do what you want, because it doesn't. And many people live that way. Many Christians try to twist the word to mean just that. Well, you know, God offers forgiveness if I just ask him to forgive me, so, you know, I can do what I want to do and he'll forgive me. That's not what that means. That's twisting the word. And it's not truth. The Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of Jesus, sets us free from the power of sin. I want us to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 45. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. Adam, everybody knows the story of Adam and Eve. If you've been anywhere near church or the Bible or stories, Adam and Eve. God created Adam and Eve. And so Paul is saying the first man, Adam, became a living being. He was just a human being. He was fully flesh, created by God. But he says the last Adam, and he's speaking of Jesus, the last Adam became a life-giving spirit. God is spirit. Jesus is spirit. Yes, he became human. He became flesh on the earth. But he is spirit. And he lives in spirit. And so Paul is simply saying the first man, Adam, was just a living being. But the second Adam, the last Adam, Jesus, became a life-giving spirit. And that's what he's talking about here in verse 2. The law of the Spirit of Christ made me free from the law of sin and death. You see, the law points out our sin. Sin, when we sin, brings spiritual death. It may not necessarily bring physical death. It could, depending on what we do. But it definitely brings a spiritual death. But we've been set free from that in Christ. In Romans chapter 6, in verse 18, it says, having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Slaves of righteousness. Now, this sounds like a negative, but it's really a positive. It means we've become servants. The word slaves there means servant. Servants of righteousness, God's righteousness. So we've been set free from sin, so we no longer have to serve the flesh, serve sin, but now we serve righteousness, which is in Christ Jesus. Verse 22 in chapter 6 there, but now having been set free from sin, having become slaves or servants of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. In other words, in the end, when we have been set free from sin and we become servants of God, it ends up with everlasting life. It produces and ends with everlasting life when we stay in that place. But he says, having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness. That simply means sanctification. Sanctification. Sanctification is a process. Once you come to Christ, that's justification. That's the justifying part of the Holy Spirit that draws you into a relationship with Jesus Christ. But once you have that, then there's a sanctification process that begins. Sanctification simply is a refining, a honing, a sharpening process. And that's sanctification, and that's what he's talking about. Fruit to holiness is that process of sanctification, being refined in God and with Christ. Verses 3 and 4, they'll be in the NLT. The law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. Remember I said we're not able to live up to the law. The law was given, but throughout time, humans could not live up to it. The law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. So God did what the law couldn't do. He sent his own son in a body, like the bodies we sinners have, and in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving his son as a sacrifice for sin. So let's put that verse 3 up again. Let's look at that for a minute. What the law was unable to do, that was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. You see, when you're born with a sin nature. These cute little babies, you've heard me say it before, that everybody Googles over, they have a sin nature. And when they get to the age of where they're able to talk, it's really revealed. It's revealed before that, before they can even talk in their actions. But when they're able to mouth words, we see that sin nature. Isn't it interesting? You don't have to teach a baby to say no. He says that the law was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sin nature. Without Christ, our sin nature is too strong for us to handle. It controls us. We don't control it. He says, so God did what the law, his law that he gave it to do, which was to make people holy. What it was unable to do, God did it through Jesus. He sent his own son in a body just like us, just like we have. And he became a human, and he identified with us, and he declared through his body an end to sin's control over us by sacrificing for our sins. In other words, he broke the power of sin over human's life when he was crucified, buried, and when he was raised from the dead. That broke sin's power. Because what does sin produce? It produces death, spiritual death. And when Jesus was raised from the dead, it broke the power not only over physical death for him, but it broke the power of spiritual death for mankind. That's what Jesus is all about. That's what Christmas is all about. That's why he came. So God did what the law couldn't do. He sent Jesus, born of a virgin, to become human, to identify with us, to be tempted in every way that we are tempted, but he remained sinless. Remained sinless. Because he came, that mission, remember the video said it was on a mission, he came to break, that mission was to break the power of sin over mankind. Now, does that mean when you become a Christian, you're perfect and you never sin? No. But what it means is, when he says there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, that means we're not condemned when we slip up in sin, but if we have the Spirit of God in us, we're convicted. And we recognize it, and we realize it, and we say, okay, God, that's wrong. Forgive me. Forgive me, and I'm moving on. You see, that's an illustration that sin no longer has power. Because when power has sin over you, you can sin and enjoy it and not think twice about it. But you see, once you have the Spirit of God in you, once you're born again, and that's why Jesus said you must be born again, because we're born with a sin nature, and that sin nature is wrong. It's of the flesh. It's of the first man, Adam. It's by nature sinful. We're born sinful. And that's why we have to be born again spiritually. Spiritually. Verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Think about that. Those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. Now, is that talking about Christians? Yes, it is. It is. Those who live according to the flesh, those Christians who live according to the flesh, you can be born again and still live according to the flesh. What does that mean? Well, does anybody here ever cuss? Slip up and drop a bomb? Yeah, if you're honest. You see, do you slip up and say things in anger that you wish you could get back? You see, yes. But that's the flesh coming out. That's flashes of the flesh. But he's saying those who live according to the flesh, meaning those who are controlled by the flesh. When your flesh controls you, you set your minds on the things of the flesh. What are the things of the flesh? Well, what does our flesh appeal to? What are our five senses? Our five senses all are connected to the flesh. Our sight, our taste, our hearing, our touch, our smell. It's all connected to the flesh. And when we seek to please those five senses, that's when we're living according to the flesh. And that's when we set our minds on the things of the flesh. The things I like to, I want to taste, I want to see, I want to do, I want to touch, I want to feel, I want the things I want to hear. That's setting our minds on the things of the flesh. Our senses focuses. Our senses focus us on flesh things. And our spirit, if we're controlled by the Spirit, it focuses us on the things of God. The things of God. John chapter 3. Verse 6, Jesus was speaking. Verse 5, he says, I say to you, most assuredly, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. In verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. Remember I said those cute little babies? They're born in the flesh. We're all born in the flesh. And he says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. When we're born, we're all flesh. We're all about us. What do those little babies want when they're growing up? They just want what they want. Guess what? There's a lot of 20, 30, 40, 50, 60-year-old babies, too, that want the same thing, right? We don't grow up. We still want what the flesh wants. And he says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit, meaning born again through Christ, is spirit. And he says, do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. You see, that's why we must be born again. Because what's born of flesh is flesh. And all flesh wants is flesh. All flesh desires is things of the flesh. And that's why we have to be born again through a relationship with Jesus Christ, so that our mind is no longer focuses on the things of the flesh, but on the things of the Spirit, which are the things of God. You know, what are those things of the flesh? He says, You know, Paul says, those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh. What are the things of the flesh? Well, it appeals to the five senses, but yeah, lust, greed, anger, pride at the top of the list, pride, unforgiveness, probably right there equal with pride, because pride is what keeps us from oftentimes forgiving. Unforgiveness is one of the biggest curses in the church. And the sad part is, many Christians, many born-again Christians who have been forgiven, refuse to forgive. Refuse to forgive. And that's flesh. That's flesh. That's setting your mind on the things of the flesh. Well, I've been hurt. Oh, they did this to me, or they did that to me. Yeah, and there's some horrible things. People sitting right here have had things done to them. But you know what? Jesus came on a mission to die for those things that happened to you. And when he raised from the dead, he gave you victory over that so you could be set free from that thing that had been done to you that you're holding unforgiveness for. Doesn't matter what it is. Oh, but Pastor, you don't know how horrible it is. It doesn't matter how horrible it is. Jesus knows how horrible it is because it was not nearly as horrible as what he went through for you. Amen. Hello? Things of the flesh. When we want to appease the flesh and feed the flesh, then our mind is focused on the things of the flesh. Greed, anger, unforgiveness, pride, selfishness, gluttony, you name it. Addictions. Oh, well, Pastor, that's a different thing. No, it's not. Because Jesus died for that too, and Jesus can set you free from addictions. Yes. Amen. And what are the things of the Spirit? The things of God. He says, those who live according to the Spirit, their mind is set on the things of the Spirit. Well, the things of the Spirit, like I said, the flesh things, envy, anger, jealousy, selfishness, pride, ego, unforgiveness, things of the Spirit, simply the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. You see, when we're controlled by the Spirit of God, that's what we focus on. We take the high road. We look for the good things in people. We may see the bad things, but we don't dwell on that. We want to focus on the good things that God has for them and to give them the good things God has for them. He says in verse 6, for to be carnally minded, carnal is simply flesh, human, humanistic. Humanism, it's taught in our schools from first grade all the way through college. Humanism, to be carnally minded is death, spiritual death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. You want peace in your life? Everybody wants peace in our lives, right? Well, you can have peace. Because when you're spiritually minded, when your mind is set on the things of God, that's where your peace comes from God, from the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of peace. And you say, well, yeah, but all this is going on and all hell is breaking loose. And you can still have peace in the middle of all hell breaking loose around you because the Spirit of God dwelling in you. If He does, that's why you can have peace in the midst of the storm. Why do you think Jesus was sleeping in the boat when the waves were lapping over the side and the rest of them were freaking out, saying, what's wrong with him? We're fixing to drown. He had peace. And you see, that's an illustration of what he wants us to have. Jesus was with them in the boat. They could have had the same peace as he had because knowing Jesus is with them. But see, they didn't know Jesus. They knew he was there, but they didn't know him. They didn't know what he offered to them, what he gave them. They didn't know the peace that he brought to them. And that's the way we are at times. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life, real life, and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. Now I want us to think about that a minute. The carnal mind is enmity against God. Do you know what enmity means? Hatred. Hatred. You say, well, wait a minute, Pastor, that can't be right. When I'm in the flesh, that's hatred toward God? Yes. That's what the Word says. I didn't say it. He did. The carnal mind is hatred against God. Hatred. Hatred, another word for enmity, is hostility. Well, I wouldn't be hostile toward God. Well, guess what? When you're feeding the flesh, you're hostile toward God. That's hostility toward God. Why? Because God has given you the ability to live differently and to be above that and not have to live to please the flesh. He's given you the Spirit of God so that you can focus on the things of God and not the things of the flesh. And when you focus on the things of the flesh, when I just want to feed my appetite, whatever that may be, then that's hostility, that's hatred toward God. That's saying, that's trashing what Jesus has done for me. That's what it is. And we don't like to look at it that way, but that's exactly what it is. And he says, for it is, the carnal mind's not subject to the law of God. In other words, there's no conviction. The carnal mind, the flesh, I'm living in the flesh. That's why I said we're quick to condemn people out there in the world the way they live. Well, they're carnal minded. They're carnally minded. They don't know anybody. They're just doing what they're not subject to the law because they don't know it or understand it. That's the way I was before I got saved. I did what I wanted to do, when and where. And it didn't work out real good for me, but I still did it because I was carnally minded. I wasn't subject to the law because there was no conviction in my spirit. Because I was living in the flesh because I was not born again. So, you know, this is written to the church. We can condemn those that are outside of Christ all we want to, but we need to look inward and say, okay, am I carnally minded? At times, yes, if we're honest. I mean, can we just be honest, take off our game face, our churchy faces, and just be honest? Yeah, we're carnally minded at times, aren't we? You know? Even when we come to church, you know, it's too hot, it's too cold, the music's this, the music's that, they're in my chair. Yeah, you know, the donuts, they didn't have the kind of donuts I liked. It's carnally minded. Hello? See? Paul's writing to us. He says, and the carnal mind is not subject to law, and it can't be, nor indeed can it be. It can't be. And here's why. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness to him. Nor can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. Look at that for a second. You see, someone who's not born again, when I was not born again, I didn't understand the things because they're the things of God because they're spiritually discerned. And they were foolishness. It says they're foolishness to him. The natural man. The natural man means the carnal man, the unregenerated, not born again person, man or woman. he does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. Why? Because they're spiritually discerned. So oil and water doesn't mix. And the Word says that. And that's like trying to mix oil and water. The things of God with the flesh, it doesn't mix. And he can't know them because they're spiritually discerned. Without the Spirit of God, we cannot discern the things of God. Amen. We can't understand the things of God. But that does not void or eliminate the void we have in our heart, because every human being has a sense in them of a need for something. They don't know what, they may not know what that need is. It's Jesus. But God created humans, and when we're born, there's a place in the heart that no thing or no man or nothing can fill except Jesus. And we know that even an unregenerated person knows that void's there. They may not understand it. That's why we have to take the gospel to them. That's why we have to share Jesus with our friends and our family, because they don't know. They know there's a void there, but they don't know what it is that's going to fix it. And that's why the Word of God and the Spirit of God reveals to them the fix for the void. Verse 8, so then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Those that are living in the flesh. When he says those that are in the flesh, those that are living in the flesh can't please God. When you're living in the flesh, you can't please God. It backs up what Paul said is carnally minded is enmity, hatred toward God. You can't please God when you're pleasing the flesh. You know, the Word says you can't serve two masters. You'll hate one and love the other. And that's exactly what Paul is saying there. Those who are in the flesh can't please God. We can't please God when we're living in the flesh. I can't please my flesh and please God at the same time. But why? Because they're contrary to one another. The flesh, remember we talked about it last week? The war that's going on, it's between the spirit and the flesh. It's the war is between the spirit and the flesh. Verse 9, but you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. He's speaking to believers. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. If the Spirit of God dwells, the word dwell means lives. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. If you don't have the Spirit of God, you're not his. In other words, you don't belong to him. You can sit in church every Sunday. You can sit in church every Sunday. And unless you have the Spirit of God living in you, you don't belong to God. Coming to church does not make you a Christian. Greeting at the door or ushering or working in kids' church does not make you a Christian. What did Jesus say? Do not marvel that I said you must be born again. You must be born again. The Spirit of God must live in you. And if the Spirit of God is not living in you, then he says if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you're not his. You don't belong to him. You know, it's interesting. I talk to people and I ask people at times, share your testimony, share your salvation experience. I don't say testimony, because there's all kinds of testimonies. I said, share your salvation experience with me. And happened just recently. And the person's talking all over about this and about family members and about church and about all kinds of things. And I'm listening. And I just said, stop. Let me ask you this. If you drop dead 5 minutes from now, will you go to heaven or will you go to hell? And the person just stared straight ahead with this deer in the headlights look for a minute. And I said, well, I'd hope I'd go to heaven. You hope, so you don't know. And you know what that means? You don't know Jesus. There's never been a time in your life that you've stopped and repented and asked him to forgive you, and you've put your faith in him as your Savior. I said, the Bible says you don't have to hope you're going to go to heaven. The Bible says you can know you're going to heaven. Yes. But you got to have that relationship. And then went through that, and that person gave their life to Christ. But you see, people, and that wasn't, I'm talking about people who's been in church for years. That wasn't someone off the street. That's people that sit in these chairs year after year. And yet, the Spirit of Christ was not in them. They had all the church look. They did all the church things. They knew some of the churchy language. They were a good person, a great person, but they were not born again. They were not born again. That's why Jesus said, "Don't marvel that I said you must be born again." Verse 10, "And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life. The Spirit is life because of righteousness." The Spirit gives life. The Spirit gives life. Look at this in the NLT. "And Christ lives within you, so even though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life because you've been made right with God." You know how you're made right with God? Just what I just said, through a relationship with Jesus. That's the only way you're made right with God. You can stand up here and sing. You can stand up here and play instruments and be lost as lost can be. It's only if the Spirit gives you life, the Spirit of Jesus, through a relationship with Jesus Christ. And you know what? And that's where that little video said, we miss it sometimes. Not sometimes, a lot of the time, we miss what Christmas is really about. It's not about the poinsettias and the trees and the wrapping paper and the gifts and the food and all that stuff and the parties. All those things are great, and the gatherings and the family gatherings, they're great. But that's really not what it's about. Those are just byproducts. What it's really about is the birth of Jesus. And why was he born a human? What was his mission on earth? It was to save us from ourselves. Listen, I needed to be saved from myself, because to be carnally minded leads to death. I mean, I was born dead already, spiritually. Because when I'm born, I'm just born in the flesh. I don't have the Spirit of God in me. I have to be born again. And carnally minded, until I was born again, I was carnally minded. And that's why Jesus came. Come on, worship team, come on up. That's why Jesus came. He came to save us from ourselves. And yes, Christmas is about gifts. It's about gifts. It's about the gift. Amen. It's about the gift of Jesus Christ for our sins to be forgiven, for us to be set free from ourselves. And I said it's about gifts. It's about the gift. You see, God gave Jesus as a gift to mankind. The word says God did what the law was not able to do. He sent his son Jesus Christ as a sacrifice. See, a gift is a sacrifice. When you give a gift to somebody, you've had to sacrifice something. You've had to either pay for it or make it or create it or whatever, and then you give it. So it's a sacrifice involved. And the one gift that Christmas is about was the ultimate sacrifice. But when I said it's about gifts, plural, it's also about gifts on our end. You see, God gave us the ultimate gift. And in return, he expects us to give our lives to him. That's our gift. That's our gift. Let's pray. So I want you to be honest with yourself today. As you sit here today, have you given that gift back to him? Have you given your life to Christ? What does that mean? I didn't ask you if you go to church. Are you on the worship team? Are you on the children's team? Are you ushering or greeting? Do you pay your tithes? I'm not asking all that. I'm asking you, have you repented of your sin, your carnal nature? Have you asked God to forgive you of that sin, of all your sins? And have you, by your faith in Christ, received that forgiveness and put your faith in Him as your Savior? If you haven't done that, that's the only way you get to heaven. That's the real meaning of Christmas. That's the only thing that's going to make Christmas real to you. Not all the carnal stuff. It's the things of God, the spiritual God. Set your mind on the things of God. And the only way you can do that is with the Spirit of God dwelling in you. And when you give your life to Christ, when you receive Him as your Savior, then the Spirit of God, God's Spirit, is what converts you. It makes that transformation in your life. So as you sit here today, if you've never done that, never ever done that, why don't you do it now? Why don't you just say right now to the Lord, not to me, say, Lord, forgive me of my sin. I believe, based on the word that I've heard this morning, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and that you are the only way. And so forgive me of my sins. And I may not understand it all, but I know one thing. I believe in my heart, you're the only way. And so I, by faith, accept you as my Savior. And I give my life to you. Fill me with your Holy Spirit, that I can walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for giving me the greatest gift of all, the gift of salvation, true life in Christ. Amen.